This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The UNC Board of Governors voted this morning to ban all centers and institutes in the UNC system from litigation. Critics of that vote say it is a targeted effort to minimize the power of the UNC Law School's Center for Civil Rights. That center currently hires lawyers to represent the state's underserved populations. The vote comes a day after a faction on the board proposed radical changes for the university system. At yesterday's meeting, the BOG discussed initiatives to reshape the UNC General Administration staff, reorganize the board's meetings, and relocate the UNC system headquarters. Joining us now for more is WUNC Managing Editor Dave DeWitt. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
Let's talk about the latest news. This morning's meeting, the BOG votes to ban litigation from centers and institutes under the UNC system. What does this mean specifically for the Center for Civil Rights at UNC's law school?
Oh, it means effectively that they can't do the work that they do every day. I mean, that's what they do. They litigate on behalf of low-income minority clients oftentimes against state entities like county commissioners and school boards. And so it means they can't do that. And what it means for their future is unknown. They could reorganize into a law clinic. That was allowed by the resolution today. Or they could spin off entirely from UNC. It's important to note they don't get a dime from the state. The Center for Civil Rights doesn't. They are completely self-funded. So they may continue in some association with UNC, or they may spin off into something completely different. It was founded by Julius Chambers as part of the law school at UNC. It's fairly unique in its setup as a civil rights center. Not many universities have something similar to this. They all tend to have law clinics or are organized differently. But as of today, they can't take any new lawsuits on. They can finish the ones they have, however.
All right. So tell us what's behind this. Why the move to strip them of their power to litigate?
Well, different supporters of this resolution have different reasoning for that. The man who brought the initial resolution, Steve Long, a member of the UNC Board of Governors, clearly didn't believe that this Center for Civil Rights should be suing state entities. He said he heard from numerous boards of county commissioners and school districts saying, why are we having a state entity like ourselves who's suing us? There are clearly other lawsuits that could be brought by private entities on behalf of the plaintiffs who brought these lawsuits against places like Pitt County School District and other places. And they raised that issue. And Steve Long, in his full-throated defense of this resolution at the committee meeting about a month ago, brought this up sort of repeatedly. He also said that the university's job should be, and the UNC Law School's job should be, to educate students, not to be a de facto law firm for low-income folks.
Well, give us an idea of what some of these cases were, because this gets at the heart of some of the criticism of this vote and criticism of the move to take away the litigation powers, and that is the very nature of the lawsuits that they have defended or that they've participated in. Tell us what kinds of things they've been doing.
Well, a lot of the lawsuits have been on behalf of low-income people who live near proposed landfills or landfills. So there's been some environmental justice cases. The ones that I've covered in the past have been education-related and segregation and desegregation-related in places like Pitt County and Halifax County. And a lot of times they're bringing cases that other law firms simply wouldn't take on, especially in education. You know, there's a little bit more of a built-up environmental law operation, law firms across the state. But not many law firms would bring a lawsuit against, say, Halifax County because they believe that Halifax County school districts, which there are three of them in the county, are organized in a way that hurts low-income African-American families. So they took on cases like that. And those aren't cases that are – they take years and years to litigate. And so having law students do that in a law clinic isn't really something that could be as feasible or wouldn't be as effective. So the Center for Civil Rights had attorneys who knew what they were doing in these fields, clearly knew the federal laws that were at work and were pretty effective in how they adjudicated these cases.
And this leads to some of the political criticism around this, and that is that the Board of Governors, largely Republicans, appointed by Republicans in control of the state of North Carolina, it looks like the state and Republicans are trying to strip the powers of a law agency, a group of people who are litigating on behalf of the underserved in North Carolina. Doesn't look good, but UNC Board of Governors Chairman Lou Bissett said it's not the way it appears.
I just wanted to be certain that we're clear. This is not a vote one way or the other on the UNC School of Law or the Civil Rights Center. It's about a particular aspect of the Civil Rights Center's work.
And not convincing to other board members, particularly Pearl Burris Floyd, who talked about the importance of the center. Here's what she had to say.
There are poor people all over the state of North Carolina who have benefited from what the UNC Civil Rights Center has done. They will still need that help. Who will be there to help them?
Pearl Burris Floyd is speaking from this morning's meeting of the Board of Governors. I'm talking to WUNC Managing Editor Dave DeWitt. So what does happen next? And really, what were the advantages? You said it's essentially a freestanding institution in that it gets its own funding and no funding from the state, and yet it is associated with the university. What are the advantages for the center for being associated with the university, and what happens now?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I think there are several ways in which being associated with the university helps and the UNC Law School. Obviously, you have a lot of experts at the UNC Law School across the spectrum who could be involved with the center in certain cases. You've got law students who can come in and out and do a lot of work for you that, you know, as part of their education could help, you know, with these cases. I think the future of the center, as we sort of talked about, is really up in the air. I think, you know, the folks who are there now are really effective attorneys, and if they wanted to, could go get jobs pretty much anywhere they wanted to. But if the center wants to continue to exist within the university framework, it's going to take some work from Chancellor Carol Folt, who has been outspoken about her belief that this law center should continue as is. Now they've got to figure out sort of how they can reconfigure. Can they get more, or will they somehow lose some of their donations? There's a lot of work to do. If they want to keep it within the UNC, they can't do litigation. It's hard to see how that would work.
This vote was supposed to be the big headline coming out of this meeting, or set of meetings from the Board of Governors. It's not. There was some fireworks yesterday and some big surprises at the meeting. Tell us what happened yesterday.
Yeah, you know, the UNC Board of Governors in the last couple of years have taken on some controversial topics. You know, sticking with the UNC Law School, they ended the Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity 2 years ago. They forced out the former president, Tom Ross. These are not things that are, you know, these are front page issues. These are some things that the UNC Board of Governors, and in previous years before this, the UNC Board of Governors was pretty, they laid low. They let the universities manage themselves, and they did a lot of issues with policy and budgets. Well, now they're clearly more interested in getting involved in kind of the nitty-gritty of specific campus-based topics, one of which is the Silent Sam statue at UNC. This prompted 15 members of the board, and there are 28 now, to write a letter. Many of them are brand new, to really disagree with how System President Margaret Spellings, Chair Lou Bissett, and Chancellor Carol Folt have handled the Silent Sam statue issue. They think it's been overly politicized. They think that there hasn't been enough emphasis on why we would keep the statue where it is in Chapel Hill. And it shows a real distinct break from different factions within the board. And you see some lawmakers, Bob Rucho, Tom Goolsbee, former General Assembly members, Tom Fetzer, who was the former mayor of Raleigh and former chair of the state Republican Party, really taking a lead on taking up some issues that the board has typically stayed away from. This will likely further politicize the board and make it an even stronger entity in getting itself involved in campus-based issues that were typically decided by chancellors.
What are some of those issues that they want to see addressed?
Well, I mean, just yesterday they mentioned reorganizing the board's meetings to make them a little bit less accessible potentially to the public, reviewing the size and scope of the UNC General Administration staff, perhaps moving the staff and the president out of Chapel Hill, and then a larger resolution about reducing tuition while preserving education quality. Now that's an issue that's been around for a long time, but you saw a distinct break on many of these topics where you saw more moderate members or people who've been on the UNC Board of Governors a little bit longer fighting back against some newer members or people who are fairly new who clearly want to make some more radical decisions within the UNC Board of Governors.
Talk about the politics of this, because, you know, some of what you see in the reporting around this is that the these radical proposals came out of nowhere. I think that's a quote I saw a couple of times, but really nothing comes out of nowhere. And to what extent does this represent a kind of long simmering or short simmering for those new members, a kind of strategy to take control? And who are they and who do they represent?
Yeah, I mean, I've covered UNC Board of Governors meetings going back 10, 12 years. And even when there are distinct disagreements on the board, you see a certain level of collegiality. You see board members giving other board members heads up that I'm interested in this topic. There's a lot of discussion before anything is proposed or any resolution comes up. This is a new day for the Board of Governors, because you have Board of Governors who walk in who have no idea what other Board of Governors might bring up and want to vote on as a resolution immediately. And so I think it's a fracture that is going to be felt for many years to come. And it's really interesting, because now the board sort of went through a transition where they're all Democrats, and there were some Democrats, some Republicans, and now we're looking at all Republican appointees. And these folks disagree probably more than any board already that we've seen, you know, in recent years. And it really speaks to then what is the leadership going to do? How are they going to survive this? Lou Bissette is fairly new as the chair. Margaret Spellings is about a year and a half into her tenure. These are folks that have been pretty, they're moderate. They've made some changes. But this is a farther right Republican entity now that is looking at the academics and the UNC system and wants to make some radical changes. And they're doing so on a board that is going to be more fractured.
All right. Dave DeWitt, managing editor at WUNC. Thank you, Dave.
My pleasure.
You can find links and more reporting on this at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we get an update on the water contamination along the Cape Fear River and the state's latest efforts to combat that. You'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.